Today's episode of the podcast is a quite literal look into a 38-week pregnant woman's brain. We talk about everything from the tornado of emotions that I have been experiencing over the past week to getting ready for labor and connecting with the earth in these final weeks. I also talk quite a bit about makeup and why I don't want to wear any anymore and how also I don't really know what I'm doing. I share my entire makeup routine with you, which somehow makes sense to the context of what I'm talking about, but is also quite strange. It's a fascinating episode. You might laugh at least once or twice. Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Let's jump in. Here we are. It's Friday and it's time for a brand new episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. Hello, my friends. I hope you are doing well. I'm laughing as I start talking to you because I feel so ridiculous right now. I feel ridiculous. I hope you are doing well. I hope you are feeling grounded. A sense of groundedness really is what I am aspiring for and yearning for and looking to create in my life right now. I hope you feel, stable, grounded, feet on the earth. There really isn't much that compares with that feeling of stability and security and safety and rootedness. And the reason I am so longing for that for all of us, for myself, absolutely, but for all of us, is because I feel like I'm in a tornado. I don't know who here listens, who here has watched or watches on a regular basis, like I do, Anchorman with Will Ferrell. You've seen it, right? Everybody's seen it. Anchorman, it's like one of the best movies of all time. It's for me and Dennis anyway. It's a classic. We watch it and come back to it quite often. We have a lot of inside jokes that come from Anchorman. And there's that one scene. For example, we call one of our dogs Keela. We call her Baxter often because she barks and is really communicative and like funny looking kind of in energy and vibe. Like Baxter, like the dog, like the Anchorman's dog in that movie. And there's that scene where it's Jack Black, I think, on a motorcycle. Okay, if you haven't seen Anchorman, this is like a plug for it. Okay, and if you love it, we have the same sense of humor. Or Jack Black, like, takes Will Ferrell's dog and throws it off a bridge, like throws him off a bridge into the water. And then the next scene is Will Ferrell losing his mind. He's in a phone booth and he's crying, screaming on the phone, "I'm in a glass case of emotion." Or maybe he says glass cage of emotion. I can't remember. But that is, that's like a scene we reference a lot in our marriage, Dennis and I. So whenever one of us, usually it's me, okay, usually it's not him, it's me. One of us is feeling a lot of feelings or feeling a lot of feelings at the same time. It's like we're in this glass case of emotion. And that's what I feel like right now. In the span of literally the past 10 minutes, I have gone from like really intense anger. I was really angry with Dennis a second ago. I just got really upset, to annoyance, where I'm just annoyed with people and with stuff. And I don't know, annoying little things that don't matter. It's just like annoying. Like, what was he? He did something that was so annoying. Oh, he was making us a tuna salad for lunch. Or I asked him if he could make us a tuna salad for lunch. And then he does this thing. Okay, I get annoyed talking about it. He puts the tuna in a bowl. And when the way I make a tuna salad is like I use all the condiments and all the like the base, and I make that first, and then I add the tuna last, and then you just mix it up, and then you're done. He like puts the tuna in the bowl, and then he just is stirring it. He's just standing there stirring it, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, what is he doing? He's been going for minutes, and he's like lost in thought because he can't do two things at once, just like stirring the tuna for no reason. And I'm looking at him for so long, and I'm so annoyed. And even though I have no reason to be annoyed, I should just be grateful that this beautiful husband of mine is making me the lunch I want, right? No. And I'm like, he has to stop stirring at some point. Like, he has to move on to the next step at some point. But I'm just, he doesn't. Like, he's stuck. He's stuck in tuna land. And he doesn't know that I'm standing there staring at him. He doesn't know that I'm annoyed. And I'm trying to like make a sound so he looks up at me, so like I can like, and I should just walk away. Like, why do I stay there? And he's just stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring this tuna like pointlessly forever. And finally I just snap. I'm like, can you move on? Like, can you just move on to the next step? And he's like, what? And he looks at me like I'm completely insane. He's like, what? Why are you so angry? I'm like, I don't know, but you've been stirring that tuna, even though it does not need to be stirred, for like 5 minutes straight now, and it's driving me insane. And he's like, well, you do it. You do it then. Do it your way. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. Okay, I'm going to leave. Bye. Like, poor man, this poor man, truly. And then I go down and I come down here to the lake. I come down to the lake house where I love to be. It's so quiet. It's so peaceful. It's a rainy day. It's really gray. It's really, really, really wet. It's really beautiful and so great for the garden. And we've had the lunch already. Yeah, the tuna salad was great. It was very delicious. And then I ventured back into, I don't know, I got angry about something else. I don't know. I'm full of feelings. So I eat the lunch. It's really nice. I make myself a dandelion latte, which we have to talk about. Like, we have not talked enough about dandelion on this show and overall in the world, okay? And I make myself a dandelion latte, and I bring some chocolate cookies, and I walk down to the lake house with the dogs, and it's so beautiful here, and I like light some candles, and I'm drinking my little herbal latte that I hand harvested and made for hours. And I just feel so content. Like, all of a sudden I'm so blissful. I'm like so grateful. I'm like, everything is so beautiful. And I get a little weepy that everything is so nice. And then I start to feel anxiety that I snapped at Dennis over tuna. So I'm like, okay, I have to text him and say, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I shouldn't text. I should call him. But then he doesn't answer. And I'm like, he's mad. He's angry. He's ignoring my call now because I snapped about the tuna. So then I'm sending him like a long, heartfelt message about like, I'm sorry I snapped, and like, I'm just feeling a lot of feelings, and it's not you, and it's not the tuna, and the lunch was delicious. And then all of a sudden I feel just like
I feel so guilty. Like, I'm just like, I'm difficult. I'm so difficult. And then in the middle of that, I just put my hands on my belly and I realize, I'm like, when did I feel him kick last? And just that one thought, like, when did I feel him move last? Because you know what it's like when you're pregnant? It's like it's the quiet moments. You sit down, you connect, and then you have all the in-between where you're rushing through stuff and you're at work, you're talking to people. Like, you're not all the time in deep communication with your little one, right? You float in and out of like deep presence and communication. At least I do. And like, he's always there, obviously. He's always like I'm well aware that he's here with me all the time. But just sitting down, I'm like, when did he move last? And then I'm like, okay, I know like an hour ago when I was at the table, there's a position I sit in sometimes that he doesn't like. If I lean forward too far, I think it just squishes him a little bit. So whenever I do that, he tends to like give me a big jab kind of. And I'm like, okay, that was just an hour ago. He like gave me that big jab. But like, did he move a lot today? And then I spin myself into like a panic. Because I'm like, I didn't sit down and drink my tea today. It was like a busy morning. I didn't sit and meditate. I normally have that really grounded, quiet time to begin the day. It's almost like we're greeting each other. You know, like I feel so present with him. I didn't have that today. We overslept. I had to lay out the door. I have a lot of things to do. And then I'm just sitting here with my hands to my belly, feeling nothing, like totally feeling nothing. And I start to like poke at him. And the whole time in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, he's not moving. Why is he not moving? He normally moves all the time, which is not true. He's not moving 24/7. He's very active all the time, but he's not like, of course, like he sleeps a lot, of course. But I spent a good like 5 minutes just now sitting here poking at him, shaking my belly a little side to side, like moving in different positions, just like, oh my God, wake up. Like, you let me know that you're fine in there now. Just in a full state of fear. And then, boom. He's like, what's up? Hi. And then he turns, and maybe he's annoyed now because I woke him up on purpose. I don't know. And now, as I'm speaking these words, he's like literally turning left and right and wiggling about. And I'm just like sitting here, what? What is going on? Why? How can I float from anger to annoyance to guilt to contentment to fear to sadness to happiness? Like, I don't even know how it's possible. Like, I've cried I don't know how many times today. And I know what they say about pregnancy hormones, and I don't love blaming everything on hormones. But I also have this feeling now, because I'm so emotional and it's such a roller coaster and it's up and down and up and down and up and down. I remember having this with Leia, like right at the end, just like the days leading up to birth. That was this big emotional roller coaster. So then I start thinking, what if he's coming really soon? I mean, he's probably not. but maybe, I don't know. I've been telling myself so strictly this whole entire time, 43 weeks. First I said 42. I was like, he's going to come at 42, 42, 42, put 42 in your head, woman. But then I was like, that's too soon. A lot of babies come 43. Now I'm going to go for 43, because otherwise I'm going to get to 42 and I'm going to be so frustrated. So I changed it and I put 43 weeks in my head. And yesterday, my friend Olivia, she was like, do you feel like it's going to be 43 weeks? Or like, you actually feel that? Or are you just repeating that to yourself again and again? Or are you telling yourself like a little mantra from your brain? Or do you feel like that's truth? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what is... I've so drilled this into my head now that I don't know what is intuition and what am I just telling myself. I don't know.
Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I'm faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too-good-to-be-true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take 2 delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Ritual's Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
If I were to be really honest and truthful, like, I feel closer now, like we're getting to 38 weeks now. I feel closer now than I thought I would. I have some period-ish cramps, which doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can have that at your, some people have that from early, like, second trimester. So it doesn't mean anything. I'm highly emotional, but then it was like, you're always highly emotional. So yeah, that doesn't mean anything either. But I do feel like he's running out of space. It's tight. Like, my belly physically hurts from the weight. It's starting to hurt to carry him, actually. And yeah, who knows? And I actually think more than just the idea of we get emotional because of hormones. Of course, there's a hormonal and a physiological aspect to all of this. But I also really believe in the spiritual, energetic, emotional connection to all of this. That, like, I can see it in parenting. I don't know if any moms or dads listening resonate. But do you ever feel like sometimes your child kind of causes a situation in which they get to break down just so they can release pent-up emotion, just so they can be extra held? Like, I see that with Leia a lot, almost where, yeah, she'll have a big reaction to something or almost kind of orchestrate a little scenario that she knows is going to lead to just complete release. Like, even when she was really little, I never really believed in the idea of tantrums. I always just thought, oh, well, this is an emotional release, which is so good. Like, as adults, we should all have more tantrums in safe spaces where we are held and supported more often. Then we wouldn't have tantrums that are harmful or that hurt other people or that hurt ourselves, or, you know, just walking around most of our lives not releasing anything, becoming little balls of stress and pressure. And I think there's something really genius about how we're designed as children around releasing emotion, around letting ourselves be held, letting energy come out and through, letting anger come out and through. Like, it's so, so precious. And I'm contemplating this because I feel like I'm kind of in that space a little bit. I'm wondering if there's an intelligence here creating, where I create scenarios so I get to completely melt down, so I get to have the release, and then afterwards I feel so calm and free. You know, feeling after a really good cry. Yesterday, I haven't been driving that much. I decided a while ago I don't want to go to the city anymore. I don't want to do anything busy. I'm really winding down, slowing down. Every day is slower than the day before. And I would love to have the last weeks of pregnancy completely secluded. So I guess that's like from next week, you know? I want to shift away from devices and technology and put an out of office on my email and say bye to Instagram for a little bit. I'm not disappearing forever. And maybe I'll come and I'll check in once a week or something, let you guys know on the on social if there's a baby or not. I'll be here on the podcast, so don't worry about that. But yeah, just kind of withdrawing more and more. That's my plan anyway. So I've been saying no to commitments and meetings and things. Not that I had a lot, but I've just been saying no. But then a little while ago, one of my best friends here in Sweden, she's a chef, she's amazing. She's one of my favorite people. And since I moved to Sweden a year and a half ago, she has invited me to, I don't know how many events. She does a lot of events where she cooks and she does, you know, collaborations with restaurants and with other chefs and with brands. And she does all this cool stuff. And every time I have ever put on anything in Sweden, she's always there. Like, she's always supporting me. She's always there. And for a variety of reasons, I just haven't been able to make it to the last ones that she's had here in Sweden. And then the last time I had to cancel, it was because she had something. And then we went to Holland to be with Dennis's sister, so I had to cancel. But then I really said to myself, the next time she invites me to anything, as long as it's in the day and not like nighttime thing, like, I'm going to be there. Like, I want to be a good friend. Like, I need to, like, you know, woman up and just like be there and support people. It's really important. You know, we have to invest in our relationships. And I really have that feeling like I haven't invested in her and been present enough with her these past months. So that was yesterday. It was like a lunch in a garden in a greenhouse that she was hosting with, yeah, super sweet, super fun. Normally I have therapy on that day. And I decided, okay, I'm going to have my last like therapy session where I sit in person with someone. I think I've shared on the pod, I've been doing a lot of healing around my first birth and first pregnancy. And I've been going to this more somatic style of therapy where you really get to experience and live out past hurts, you know, places where you're stuck a little bit. You get to really be with that in your body. So it's less talking, more sensing and feeling and being. It's really been wonderful for me. So I said, okay, I'm going to do maybe my last session probably before baby. And normally it's on that day. So I just asked, is there an earlier time so I can make this thing I want to go to with my friend? And the therapist said, yeah, you can come at 9. And I'm like, 9? We live an hour away from Stockholm. And there's traffic sometimes, like especially in the morning. So I'm like, okay, 9. Normally at 9, I have not even, like, I'm still in my pajamas. You know, I'm very, 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 very slow. It's like everything is hard. I'm making myself sound like just such a sloth right now, but it just is what it is. Like, you know, it just is. It's just the truth. I don't mean to complain. It's just the truth. I'm like, I can make it. And then it was like, you're never going to make that. Like, you're not going to be in Stockholm at that. Like, you're going to wake up in the morning and like rush and then get in the car and drive through in rush traffic and then find parking. And then he's like, I don't think you're going to, like, you're not really in that place right now. I'm like, it'll be fine. It's going to be great. So I booked that 9 a.m. And then at 12, I had this event with my friend. I'm like, this is going to be a nice day for me in Stockholm. And this is not even work. This is literally something I would do on a normal day off. Like, it's all joyful, friendship, therapeutic stuff. Like, this is, you know, come on. Like, don't be a baby. Don't be a baby, Rachel. Go. So yesterday, I wake up really early and I'm like, okay, it's 6 o'clock. I have so much time. Like, I have no problem. I'm going to need to be in the car at 7:30. And then I have like a margin of error in case there's a little bit of traffic, in case I have a hard time finding parking, I'll still make my 9 a.m. appointment, which I have to pay for regardless. It's like one of those things. Like, if you don't show up, you pay. So it's like, I really need to make it. And I don't know what happened in the morning. I had so much time. And I don't know. You know what happened? I was like Dennis with the tuna. That's what happened. I was absolutely Dennis with a fucking tuna. I just start doing something to get ready. And then I just like got stuck there. And then I would like abandon something and go somewhere else. And then I realized it's 7 o'clock now and I didn't do anything. I didn't eat. I didn't get dressed. I wasn't ready. And then Leah wakes up and I just have to like get her ready and make her morning smoothie. And then I do that. And then I take a really quick shower and I just suddenly I'm in a fucking rush and I'm not ready at all. And then I'm standing in the bathroom and I realize, well, I'm going to this event. It's like an influencer event and I'm going to Stockholm. I really should put some makeup on. You know, I should like make a little effort here. And it's also so silly. And I've been thinking about it all day, how I have these, I haven't put on makeup. I put on makeup once in months, literally in months. And I feel so good. I go everywhere around here. I go to the little town we live close to. I go, you know, if I go get Leia at school, which I don't do a lot, grocery store, you know, and I'm showing my face to Instagram for like many, many people, way more people than I would meet on a day in Stockholm or at some event. Like, and I'm just like, I'm not wearing makeup ever. Everyone knows what I look like. I don't have to like, why am I trying to look like something else? I don't know. But because it's Stockholm and because it's an event and I'm like, I don't know who I'm going to run into. There's going to be photos taken. I know that. It's like, okay, I'm going to put on makeup. And I go to the mirror and I open my makeup drawer and I don't want to. And I really have this like visceral, like this feeling in my body of like, I hate this. I fucking hate it. I hate the makeup. I don't like putting makeup on. I don't think that's fun. I'm not one of those people. I never was. I often enjoy the feeling of wearing it if it makes me feel like prettier or more put together, or sometimes I feel just like I'm a little bit more, yeah, just put together, like I made an effort, kind of that feeling. But I don't enjoy putting on makeup. There's a lot of people who do. Like I have one of my sisters, she loves it. She's one of those people, she'll spend 2 hours putting on a face of makeup and she follows all the trends and watches all the TikToks and the YouTube tutorials and is so into it. I feel like this newer generation, they're so good at makeup. I suck at makeup. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm doing the same shit I've been doing my whole life. Like nothing has changed aside from my eyebrows, okay, since I was like 18. Like nothing's changed. My eyebrows have changed, thank God. I know now that I need to, since I tweezed them into oblivion when I was 14, I need to do something about my eyebrows every day. Like that's just, or if I'm putting on makeup, I do that. But other than that, like what have I learned in the past 15 years of putting on makeup like a woman? I have learned nothing. I don't know anything. I don't know how to put on eyeliner. I don't know what to do with eyeshadow. Come on. And I see these people on social media. I would never even like pretend. I don't know where highlighter goes. Okay. I know highlighter's a thing. I don't know where to put it. I have never worn lipstick in my life. Like having something on my lips just makes me freak out. Like that makes me feel very claustrophobic. And I feel like it's always going to be on my teeth. Yeah, I've had some phases where I like for a day or two, I'm like, ooh, I find like a lipstick in a drawer. Like, ooh, this actually like, this is really nice. But then it's horrible to wear. And then you worry all day that you have lipstick on your teeth or is it all over your face? And then it disappeared, but halfway. So you have to like apply it again and then it's too much. And then no. And like lip gloss, gross. No. So I just do what I do. And what I do, in case you're interested, I don't know what this podcast episode is, by the way. I'm so sorry. But in case you're interested, what I do is I have an elaborate skincare routine. I care about skincare. That I care about a lot. I care about my skin like feeling good. I care about feeling moisturized and like hydrated. Like I care about that stuff. I get excited about a really nice face oil or a face mask in the bath. Like I like that stuff, but makeup, I don't know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So anyway, what I do is I do my skincare routine, which I feel like is the one thing I enjoy. And then I put on something called a CC cream. For everyone out there that doesn't know what this means, I know now. It means color correction cream. And I don't know what BB cream means and if it's the same thing or if it's something different. There's also something called BB cream. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's the same, but I don't know what BB stands for. BB. No, I don't know. I know what a CC cream is because I learned that. And I learned that going to Olivia and Patrick's wedding in 2018, and I was at Sephora thinking like, I need to buy some new makeup so I can like look good for this wedding. And there was a man there who told me I need CC cream for my sunspots. And here's a really good one. And I was like, okay, thanks. And since then I've been using that. This is so funny. I don't know if it works. I don't know if it does anything. I don't know if it makes my face look worse or better. I don't know. It's kind of natural. It's not like all organic. It's probably the most, like least organic thing in my life, maybe. I don't know. But this man at Sephora once told me I need it. So yes, I use it. It's so funny how something will just kind of stick. I don't know. And then, so I put that on. And then I put some concealer on. And that's something I learned from my mom. She was always like, when I was little, she was always talking about like having blue circles or black dark circles under your eyes, and that's not good, and then you look tired. And she was always like obsessively putting on concealer. So I learned that there. I don't know if I'm using the right tone. I'm probably not putting it on the right way. I just rub it in there. And I have like 4 or 5 different kinds that I've just like picked up over time, and I don't care which one I use. It just doesn't matter. They all look a little different, I guess, but they're all the same. It's just concealer, okay? So I do that. And then, this is the most elaborate part of my makeup routine. I have one like matte, neutral, almost skin color, but kind of lighter eyeshadow. I can't remember where it's from. It's something organic anyway, or something like a natural brand. And I just put that all over my eyelid. Why do I do this? I don't know. I don't know. I also put it under my eyelid. It's just, I don't know if it like brightens my eye a little bit. I put it all the way up to my eyebrow. I just put it in there. And I've always done, it. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. I don't know what it does. I'm just laughing now because like this is all so pointless. Like why am I doing this? I don't know. I really could use a sit down with like a makeup artist or something. So I do that, and then I fill in my eyebrows, and I try to do a good job, which is not always easy. You know, eyebrows, they're not the same. I heard once eyebrows are supposed to be cousins, not twins. And that makes me feel better. Like they don't have to look the same. And I do that, and I have one that's like a little thing with a brush that I feel like looks a little more natural, but sometimes I fuck it up and I way overdo it and they look really unnatural, but then it's done. Yeah, what am I going to do? I'm going to wash my face and do this thing again? No, like that's the eyebrows are what they are. What's important is that I have them, which in reality I really don't. And that's it. Yeah. So CC cream, concealer, weird eyeshadow that looks like nothing, my eyebrow pencil thing. That is the entirety of my makeup routine. It takes me maybe 2 minutes. I don't even think it takes me 2 minutes. I can do this in under a minute for sure. If I fuck up an eyebrow, then I'll be like, oh no, and I'll spend a little time trying to not mess it. But I mean, for sure, it's like a 3 minute thing, the whole thing. Why am I talking about this? Okay, so I'm telling you about yesterday. And yeah, if I'm going out or I'm doing something and I have like a special, then I'll put mascara on. Yeah, yeah. I hate taking mascara off. I think that's really a pain in the ass. So I only put mascara on if I'm doing something. If I'm going to a party or I'm going out at night or like date night with Dennis, I'll put on mascara. For a photo shoot, I would put on mascara. I would not put on mascara just to go to Stockholm to an event. No, no, no. So yeah, the CC cream and the concealer and the weird eyeshadow and the eyebrow pencil, like that is four things. That's a four-step makeup routine. I'm going to go ahead and call that fairly conservative. I don't know how many steps your makeup routine has, but I think mine, like if I see what Gen Z is doing, like on Instagram Reels and stuff, that is like multiple steps within steps. I mean, that's like a whole thing. No, I do four things. Okay. So I stand in front of the mirror and I'm deciding, okay, I need to put on makeup because I'm going to Stockholm and I'm going to this event and I know I'm kind of late. So I also feel like I could just say, fuck the makeup and I could go and I'm going to cry at therapy anyway, but I'm not going to feel good at an event, just makeup less. And why not? But it's just what it is. So I start to take out my stuff and I feel this resistance and I start to get angry with myself. Why am I doing this? Why am I going to Stockholm? I could just be in my house. I could be drinking tea right now. I could be in my yoga mat. I could just like do nothing. I could just be pregnant and grumpy. And I'm standing here and I'm putting on stupid makeup. And I take the CC cream. And the CC cream, it's not a foundation. It's not like a thing that covers your face. It's literally just, it's white and it's like has a little pigmentation and it just makes your skin, I think what it does is it just makes your like melasma or skin spots like less visible. It just like smooths out your skin tone. I think that's what the point is of a color correction cream. So it's not like one of those, you know, you've seen the people who do like a full coverage face where it's multiple layers of multiple stuff and they end it with like a powder and it's just, their whole face is just like impeccable. Like they have no pores. No pores. They don't have moles. They don't have freckles. They don't have pores. Or if they have freckles, they put them on later. Have you seen that? That's so crazy. It's so crazy. So anyway, I'm putting on, this is a long story. I'm putting on the CC cream. And as I'm doing it, I can visibly see how I'm becoming uglier. And this sounds insane. And I put it on with my fingers the same way I would put on moisturizer. Like I have no tools for any of these things. There's no sponge or brush or anything. I just rub it in with my fingertips all over my face. But literally as I'm doing it, it was kind of like I could see how it's all a mask. Even this little piece of makeup that doesn't really do much, that doesn't matter. But like it changes my life. But I could just, in that moment, I was like, I'm putting on a mask. And I'm masking my like freckles, like I'm toning down the vibrancy of my real skin. And I'm putting on this mask and it's not making me any prettier. It's not improving anything about me. Like actually I have a glow in myself. I actually really like my freckles, even the weird sunspots that I have now because of pregnancy and melasma and stuff. Like I actually feel way more beautiful with nothing, when I don't make the effort, when I don't try, and I'm just in the garden and just do, you know, as I am, then I do putting on like a nice dress and makeup and then going, yeah, I don't know. I just had this moment of like, I hate it. I fucking hate it so much. I hate that this has been drilled into my brain that I need to put this stuff on my face. And even though I do the bare minimum, I hate the bare minimum of it. And I hate that I wouldn't feel comfortable going to an event or being in pictures if I didn't have it, even though I haven't really tried. So maybe that's just something I should do next time. I don't know.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I do my four things. I put on the one skirt, like a pregnancy skirt that still fits my belly. And I just, I'm about to run outside. And Dennis is like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to stupid Stockholm. I'm really late. And he's like, you know, it's pouring rain, right? I look outside and I'm literally wearing flip-flops and I'm bare-legged, like no tights or anything, pants, no, just like a skirt and like flip-flops. And it's cold and it's pouring rain. And I'm like, what? Since when is it fucking raining? He's like, it's like, I've told you all week, it's gonna rain on Tuesday. Like Tuesday's gonna rain, Wednesday's gonna rain, and it's actually really cold. Like you can't wear that. And I just crumble. I'm like, oh no, like this is the one outfit. This is the one thing I have. I have nothing else. I have no pants. I have no stockings. I have no leggings that fit me anymore. I have none of that. This was it. So I'm like, well, I don't care. Okay, I'll change my flip-flops to rain boots. But I'm going. I'm looking like this. I don't care. This is it now. And then it's just like, you're gonna be really cold. I'm like, okay, fuck it. I grab a sweater that I know doesn't fit. And I grab my rain jacket that I know doesn't fit. And I run to the car, get into the car, and I put my things in the car, and I finally sit down. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I'm so late. And then I realize I forgot the car key. There's no car key. And I'm like, I'm too tired. I have too much pain to walk back to the house. So I call Dennis for him to like run out with a car key. He isn't answering. And why is he not answering? Because he has his phone on airplane at night, airplane mode, because I ask him to, because I don't want the EMF disturbance while we sleep, which he doesn't care about. I'm the only one who cares about. So he turns his phone off. And I'm so angry. His phone is off. Why is his phone off? Why isn't he answering? Why isn't he helping me? Nobody is helping me. I am all alone. I get out of the car, walk through the pouring rain in my skirt and my stupid rain boots. And I go in the house and I open the door and I'm like, why do you have a phone if you don't answer it? And he's like, because it's on airplane mode. I take the car key, I go back to the car, and I'm so upset. I start driving, and I put the address into Google Maps, and Google Maps tells me I'm going to be 35 minutes late to my appointment. My appointment is 50 minutes long. So it's like, there's no chance. There's a congestion on the stupid highway. Normally, it can be like a 50-minute drive. This was like a 1.5-hour drive because it was rush hour in the morning. And I just broke down. Like in the car, I just broke down. And I was wailing. Like I was actually wailing in the car. Snot like running down my face. I had one tissue that I found in my purse that was not enough. And I spent almost the entire drive to Stockholm just bawling my eyes out, fully aware that I have nothing to cry about. Fully aware, no one has done anything to me. Like no one has been mean to me. There's nothing that's unfair. My life is beautiful. I have so much abundance. I am so grateful for everything I have. And I hate everything. Everything is so hard and so horrible. And I feel so sorry for myself and nobody cares. It really was like a... oh my God. And then I composed myself like an hour in. Like at one point I was like, I should probably pull over and just cry, but I didn't. I kept driving. I was probably dangerous and stupid, but everything was fine. And then at some point I like send a voice message to my friend Michaela. I'm like, everything is terrible and it's raining and I have nothing to wear and I missed my therapy appointment and do you want to have breakfast with me? And she's like, great, yes, great. Like, yes, let's meet at that place, like our favorite place for breakfast. Like, I'll be there waiting for you. I'm like, okay. And then I send the voice message to Olivia. I'm like, I missed my appointment and everything is terrible and I can't stop crying. And her answer was, good. That is so good. That's so great. Obviously, you didn't need the therapy appointment. Obviously, what you needed was a really good release, like really a good cry. This was probably better than therapy, than anything that could have happened in therapy. Like, this is just like, keep crying, keep going. Oh, and I get to Stockholm and everything was fine, you know, everything was okay. I went to breakfast and had a really nice breakfast with my best friend. And then I met up with Olivia and we went to this event and it was beautiful. It was so casual. I could have gone no makeup. There was literally like nothing to care about. It was so down to earth, so fun, so delicious. I'm really happy I went. I'm really, totally, truly. And then on the way home, I stopped at this little organic store and I bought really nice cheeses and crackers and just like organic stuff that I love that feels so nice to have at the house. And I get home to my loving husband and my beautiful daughter on our amazing farm where Dennis had cleaned the whole kitchen and the house is spotless. And he's standing there making tacos. And I'm just like, what is wrong? What's wrong with me? Why can't I just be normal? Like, why do I have to be like this? And then I realize, well, I guess this is normal for right now. This is not an everyday state of mind. This is a 38 weeks pregnant, about to go through a really life-changing portal of labor. I mean, life-changing. You don't come out from birthing a baby the same version of yourself that you were before. We are about to become a family of four. I'm going to be a mom of two. Everything hurts. I weigh like 100 kilos. Like everything is like, this is it now, you know? And I think having that, I don't know, this little orchestrated day that I was never going to work. Like really, it was kind of my way of creating space for myself to throw a tantrum just so I could cry for 90 minutes and get everything out and then feel really soft and vulnerable and open after that. Right? Like kind of just how our kids do it when they release and they let it all out and let it all go and you know, don't hold back. We need those moments too. And I wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for all those little stupid things. And I've decided now that for the rest of this pregnancy and hopefully beyond, I'm not going to do anything that feels out of alignment. Like what reason is there for me to get up in the morning and put on makeup? There's none. Like for me, just not where I am in my life. No. And especially if doing that makes me feel like lesser than, no, that is not the right thing. I want to just embrace this feeling of being really connected to the earth. Wake up in the morning, not put on any underwear. Underwear is the worst. It's all bad. It's all bad. And I just want to wear these muumuus, you know, these like, they look like a tent. You know, I have a couple of them, like a beach cover up or something, you know, that's just like, you just put it on and it's just like, that's all you wear for the day. Nothing that cuts into your body or nothing that's tight anywhere. Like just pure comfort, pure comfort. I mean, as close as you can get to being naked, but the farm is littered with construction men right now. And carpenters. So I'm not walking around naked. But this is as close as I can get, I think. And no makeup. And I don't want to brush my hair. And I want to be barefoot. And I want to have dirt under my fingernails, even though it's really hard for me to reach the ground. It's so hard to get down there. And it's so hard to get back up. But that's all I want. and embrace every single freckle that I add to my face at this time, because there's lots of them and they're glowing and they're beautiful. And there's something about this time, these last few weeks, that are so special, and they're not going to happen again. I'll never be highly pregnant at our new farm in the summertime, almost. Like, I'll never have that again. Like, this exact moment, this time is not going to come back. And I know I'm going to look back at this as such a precious, precious time. So I'm deciding to just really be here for all of it, you know, and all the way myself. Even, you know, even if it's a little bit chaotic and, you know, erratic right now, I think that's okay. So yeah, this, my friends, this was this week's podcast. I don't know. I feel like at this point you should be really happy that you have one. I want to, yeah, thank you for laughing with me. Maybe at me. It's okay. You can laugh at me. thank you for being here and for listening, and just thank you. I'll be back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.